hints of evil can be discerned in the queer world of verbal transmigration. The first, and lesser one, comprises obvious errors. Due to ignorance or misguided knowledge, this is mere human frailty, and thus excusable. The next step to hell is taken by the translator, who intentionally skips words or passages that he does not bother to understand, or that might seem obscure or obscene to vaguely imagined readers. He accepts the blank look that his dictionary gives him without any qualms, or subjects scholarship to primness. He is as ready to know less than the author as he is to think he knows better. The third and worst degree of turpitude is reached when a masterpiece is planished and patted into such a shape, vilely beautified in such a fashion, as to conform to the notions and prejudices of a given public. For here he comes, strutting and shooing out his bejeweled cuffs, the slick translator who arranges Scheherazade's boudoir according to his own taste, and with professional elegance tries to improve the looks of his victims. Thus it was the rule with Russian versions of Shakespeare to give Ophelia richer flowers than the poor weeds she found. The Russian rendering of "Fairway Fantastic Garland" did she back into English would run like this. There, with most lovely garlands, did she come? A violet, carnation. Google Translate, through Russian and French and back, there with fantastic garlands she came. Nettles, daisies, and long buttons. Another pass through Polish, Japanese. foreign matter or minor masterpieces may involve an innocent third party in the farce. Quite recently, a famous Russian composer asked me to translate into English a Russian poem, which 40 years ago he had set to music. The English translation, he pointed out, had to follow closely the very sounds of the text, which text was unfortunately K. Belmont's version of Edgar Allan Poe's Bells. What Belmont's numerous translations look like may be readily understood when I say that his own work invariably disclosed an almost pathological inability to write one single melodious line. Having at his disposal a sufficient number of hackneyed rhymes, and taking up as he wrote any hitchhiking metaphor that he happened to meet, he turned something Poe had taken considerable pains to compose into something that any Russian rhymist could dash off at a moment's notice. In reversing it into English, I was solely concerned with finding English words that would sound like the Russian ones. Now, if somebody one day comes across my English version of the Russian version, he may foolishly retranslate it into Russian so that the Polish poem will go on being Belmontized until, perhaps, the bells become silent.